Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon, I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Lots of fun stuff to talk about this afternoon, as kind of has been the case recently, right? Because we just have more and more interesting things to discuss. Over the weekend, interesting news with Pope Francis pleading for an end to the death penalty, certainly this year of mercy, that we would understand that there's really no need for this. I know this riles and ruffles feathers. We're going to talk about that this afternoon, of course. Also interesting, it looks like that the Cruz campaign is now trying to pin what they say is a denouncement of his faith, of Marco Rubio, on a very interesting video clip that's out there that one may argue, well, this is obviously what he's saying, but I think if we take a look at it, we listen, first off, what he says is not clear, and I think a very unfair fight to say that this is the case, especially someone who certainly extols the faith that does Marco Rubio. We'll talk about that this afternoon as well. All of that and more, Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Be back after this.
Breadbox Media invites you to Bless the Yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. 50 minutes every afternoon. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith. Follow me on Facebook, Leo C. Brown, which, by the way, I've said that so many, many, many times, and it was just this weekend I discovered that, oh, you've got to set your settings so people can follow you. I knew I had a public page, and I knew that I had done all of that. Well, apparently you got to go into the settings even on your public page and allow followers, which I had not done. So now, if you're so inclined, or maybe you want to defriend me, I think that's probably the way it works on most days, you can do it over there at Facebook. So find me there, Leo C. Brown. So interesting news over the weekend, and I think that this needs to be explored a little bit and discussed. And by the way, if you wish to call in, you can do that, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. I am happy to talk to you if you have an opinion on this. Again, message me on Facebook. That's how most people communicate with me, after I post something, and then there's the long, long thread of responses. But our Holy Father over the weekend basically saying, in this year of mercy, let's not have any executions, right? It's kind of like you said, in this year of mercy, let's forgive those who have had an abortion. Let's have a heart of mercy. If we're going to say we're people of mercy, let's let that mercy look like something. So, how about no capital punishment? Which, if you go back in the tradition of the church, certainly for the past couple of decades, I think that this has been pretty prominent when it comes to a position that the Catholic Church has held, maybe not in the sense of intrinsic moral evil, which I understand that there is a caveat. I get that. I know that the Catechism of the Catholic Church clearly says that it is permissible, however, almost unnecessary. And I'm not quoting the exact paragraph from the Catechism there, but this is essentially what we're dealing with. We have a criminal justice system this day and age, which says, you know what, can pretty much contain. We can contain those criminals. We can find a way to keep someone out of the public potential of murdering again or harming anyone. We have incarceration methods that have proven to be effective. We would hope for rehabilitation. We can't assume that that can happen, but we pray for that for anyone going through a time of incarceration after something of this nature. But we don't have to kill them. We don't have to kill them. And to me as a Catholic, I think this is consistent. I believe there's a beautiful consistency. I posted on my Facebook page the usccb.org's link to just document after document, position after position, literally going back decades, that say this is the church's position. We are anti-death penalty. Please understand, we have a consistent ethic to life, because here's what opponents will do, and we know this. Opponents will do this in any given time with any opportunity. We're always looked at with a challenge to our integrity. That's what, if somebody wants to find the opportunity to derail us, it's going to be based on where is this within your integrity? How together is this? Is it really integrated? Do you believe in what you say, or do you seem as though you're talking out of both sides of your mouth? And the support is there. You can argue all day long that it's not an intrinsic moral evil. You can say, well, there is the caveat, there is the potential for this, and we would be changing the course of history if that's what Pope Francis is trying to say right now. And again, I think it's an appeal to the tenet of our faith of a consistent moral ethic that says life is sacred, right? Human life is reflective of the divine. There is incarnational theology for a reason that says God became man so that man can become like God. We have the opportunity to do that through conversion. We have the opportunity to express and live and experience that when we have life, when we have the gift of life. So to rob someone of that opportunity is essentially saying you have no recourse of rehabilitation. You have no recourse of conversion. We will take that opportunity away from you because of the egregious crimes you've committed. Pope Francis's appeal, and I believe the Church's appeal, I believe St. John Paul II's appeal. Look at Evangelium Vitae. It is there. It's clearly there. In the document from 1995, which was reflected in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, that this needs to be our appeal as people of faith. We need to have this consistency in order to show that we have consistency, right? Because otherwise, what do we have to stand on? Oh, okay, well, oh, I said innocent. I said innocent human life. That's what I meant. Innocent. As long as they're innocent, it's okay. Well, what about those who go to death row falsely accused? We're going to stand behind and say, well, the execution needs to take place regardless of whether we really have the evidence to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that this individual is guilty. And I believe saints stand on the side of this. Our Holy Father stands on the side of this. Our Conference of Catholic Bishops stands on the side to say, there really never is an opportunity to exercise something of that nature. Sure, we want to get into the splitting of hairs of moral theology and intrinsic evil. We could do that, but my question is, why would you want to? Why do you want to justify that? That's what's more bizarre than anything to me. You know, I get the perceived confusion over the in-flight press conference, the hotly debated in-flight press conference, where Pope Francis essentially says there was a precedent set sometime in the pontificate of Blessed Paul VI. I'm not exactly sure where this timeline is, where essentially he said to nuns who were in danger and maybe had been raped in Africa, for them to have the opportunity to use contraceptives to prevent pregnancy in the case of that rape. And he essentially alludes, and apparently this was confirmed, that maybe in a situation where the Zika virus is so aggressively altering the health of these infants in the womb, could a measure be taken prior to that that may prevent something of this nature, which he says, hey, first off, let's solve the problem, right? Let's discover a cure. Let's aggressively go after eradicating this. But then he seems to present an interesting, but maybe something of this nature could be enacted. Now, did he say that, okay, I want this, or I'm allowing this, or this is what the church is going to do today? No, it kind of seemed to be an exploratory kind of question. Now, I get faithful Catholics who want to come in and say, that confused me, and it might give somebody the impetus to say, oh, well, Pope Francis says that contraception is completely okay. Therefore, I don't have to, whatever the church used to teach on, that's obviously out the window. I get that. I get that that could be confusing. And I get that there could be those who would twist and turn it. That's not what he said. That's not the position here. Go back and check the documentation on it. But I get to where the challenge of ethic may come into place for some. I'm willing to give that benefit of the doubt in that particular question about that press conference. But compare that to someone who simply wants to say, well, wait. As Catholics, we can support the death penalty. My question has to come back to, why would you want to? Why would you want to? Why wouldn't you want to embrace a consistent ethic of life that says, you know what? Conception to natural death, not just for innocent life, but for all life, because I want to be a person of life. I want to have a consistent ethic of life. And the only reason why I could assume, and I don't know why that's the case, I can only assume that the reason why that is the case is because we want to kind of cling to a political stance first. And I know it's not popular when we start talking this way. I know that it makes people crazy when I say, don't put your politics first, right? The politism and Catholics, as I call it. But that's the only reason why I could see, because you're clinging to something that simply says, I'm so devoted to my political position that I'm going to hold the heck onto this. Otherwise, where's the justification? And really, I would want to ask that question in all earnest and really try to understand, because I think we're sending a very mixed message otherwise, and it's something that we have to be aware of, that ethic. More to come. Back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, almost hour. Follow me on Facebook, Leo C. Brown. Lots of interesting conversation happening as we speak on the very topics we're talking about this afternoon. And just to kind of cap this, and we'll maybe come back to it if we need to, but I believe, yes, faithful Catholics can disagree, obviously. There are some who would want total abolition. They would be in the camps of our Catholic Conference of Bishops, St. John Paul II, Pope Francis. I believe that we would be in good company standing there. And there are those who say, if they wish to say, wait a minute, the Church does not call for complete and total disregard of this state-sanctioned position, practice, you name it, then you would be okay, right? It's not a moral deficiency for you to make that claim. So we'll leave it at that. I get that. I understand. I would just pray that we would appeal to something that would say, wait a minute, how do we get even more consistent with this? Is it possible? If so, let's try. Well, we know the fallout from the remarks made by Pope Francis on the plane regarding Donald Trump, seemingly calling into question his faith. I would say that's a legitimate assertion. However, he did say, let's give him the benefit of the doubt, but he did say someone who would do or say what he says that he will do the things he says he's going to do. This is not Christian. A Christian doesn't build walls. We build bridges. Of course, that immediately sparked all kinds of controversy regarding the Vatican walls. And we went around and around in that. Many pictures posted of Vatican visitors standing over a line that was once a wall, maybe. And I contend that this is a very different situation, having a walled city with an open gate as opposed to a border wall. But in the maybe a similar fashion, it seems as though there are those who want to call everyone's faith into question. And Marco Rubio, who is hanging in with Ted Cruz now after the Republican field has diminished after the weekend's results in South Carolina, apparently is featured in a Cruz-promoted video piece where he seems to say, regarding a Bible that one of the Cruz staffers happens to be holding, that's a good book, but there's not a lot of answers there, especially that one. And he points down, and there's been the argument, well, he didn't say that. He said there are a lot of answers there. It's really hard to make out. It's very difficult to say exactly what he says. I'm inclined to believe he did say there's not a lot of answers there, especially that one, because we don't know what he was referring to. My guess is it was kind of a jab at the Cruz staffer because he probably had a piece of Cruz material. That's just my guess. Don't hold me to that. I have no idea. But I'm simply saying he may have said that, and if he did, in a sarcastic kind of way, then he's certainly not denouncing his faith. And I think that we know that the evidence is there to support Rubio for being a person of faith. So it's a little bit unfair to take this approach. But when we get into the politics and the ugly politics of mudslinging, and now that we're ratcheting up, right, because the herd has been thinned, now we're going to get even, it's going to get even nastier, right? We know this. And it's unfortunate that this is where we end up. And even if Rubio said that, that's probably not the best attitude to have. If he was being somewhat snarky and sarcastic toward Cruz, but you know what? It's politics. It's the time where pretty much anything goes. And now, as we get narrower and narrower in this race, this is where the nasty stuff comes out. People start wanting to pull out the swift boat, right? Where's the swift boat? Who's got a swift boat? Who can we derail because we're going to bring something up out of their past or something that just happened. Look, Rubio seems to be denouncing his faith. So while this is entirely too soon to tell, I think that we certainly need to be praying now, right? I mean, we need to pray now. I saw an article, and I don't have it in front of me, but basically talking about the challenge that certainly Donald Trump poses to many in the Christian arena. It's not limited to just Catholics. It's also people of other Christian faiths who have said, who've made the claim already, if it's between Trump and a Democrat, I'll simply not vote. Now, if it's true that about half of the voter base seems to be energized toward him now, well, something of that nature would simply just guarantee victory to someone that maybe someone doesn't want either, right? So it's a very difficult place to be, I believe, right now, as a person of faith, trying to weigh and measure and sift and sort and say, what do we do? Now, fortunately, it's still too soon to tell. We don't cast that final ballot until November, so we got a lot of ground to cover between here and there. But one thing that I think that we can pray for, and this is what I would encourage us all to do, is to say, well, you know, let's pray the truth is revealed, right? Let's pray that clarity is certainly discovered and uncovered and heard and embraced. And as we move through this time, we certainly pray for the best absolute candidates to ultimately be our potential choices. Because otherwise, it's challenging when we get down to a lesser of two evils equation and we think, oh, we got to do this or that. Maybe I just don't do anything at all. And with the fact that there's press around this already, suggesting that there are those who would have already made a statement of that nature, that's something we got to think about, pray about, discern. And hopefully not let happen. I've been personally asked, I'm a registered independent. I can't vote in caucuses. I can't vote in the primaries, which in our state here, we have a caucus and a primary, depending on what side of the political arena you're in. And it's too soon to tell. That's an unfair question for anyone who can't face a primary. And even if you could, we don't know. We don't know, right? A lot of ground to cover, a lot of swift boats to uncover, a lot of things that could be slung around that could change the course of all of this, and we simply don't know yet. I would certainly hope that we as people of faith would put our faith first, right? That's my appeal. That's my appeal to anyone who wants to be seen as a person of integrity. That doesn't necessarily win you friends, I assure you, because you don't fit into a category that people like to categorize, and because you don't fit well there, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge. Be prepared for that should you decide to do that. Well, let's put it this way. Should you decide to do that and be vocal about it, then just be ready, right? Because I promise you, it's interesting the responses that I see. I fight battles that I never imagined I would fight. I hear and see the comments and know that there are positions that I hold that simply are not popular. But I hold them because I believe this to be true. I believe this to be a sincere element of our faith that if we get this right, if we put this first, it's everything else will be added, right? What does the scripture say? Seek first the kingdom. Seek the righteousness. Everything will be added after that. I know in the times when I'm doing that, and I don't do it consistently because I unfortunately get distracted into my own selfishness and I discover that I put myself first. I put my needs, my desires, my wants ahead of righteousness. But when I really do, when I do kind of decide, okay, I'm going to reorder this, and I'm going to find a way to do this effectively with the grace of God. I can't do it on my own, right? Nobody does this alone. But when I do that, amazing things happen, right? We know this. Amazing things happen. And we have that opportunity through this election cycle. We have that time to stop and go, wait a minute, how do we do this better? How does this look different? How do we, as people of faith, look peculiar, right? This is what Scripture calls us to be, as a peculiar people. How do we do that? How do we do that effectively and say, this is an opportunity, right? Because every decision we make, every Facebook post we post, every utterance out of our mouth, every position that we hold or angle that we seem to suggest is a witness, right? We know that. So can it be measured up? Can it look consistent, or does it not? Also, I blame this on that Facebook test where, you know, which how dominant are you, left brain, right brain? You know, I ended up right squarely in the middle, right? So that doesn't help. I think left brain dominant people, right brain dominant people probably understand each other better. That's my guess. More to come. Leo Brown, almost hour. Back in a moment.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you, Leo Brown. Almost out. On Facebook, Leo C. Brown. Follow me there. You can do that now. My settings are set the way they're supposed to be. Couldn't do it before the weekend. Big weekend. Lots of things happening. Lots of interesting news and challenging news. Certainly, I think one of the biggest challenges this horrible story out of Kalamazoo, Michigan. I don't know that we're going to ever really know. Fortunately, I mean, in this particular case, the perpetrator was apprehended. Maybe we can get some answers. But when something this bizarre happens and somebody who was normal one day seemingly goes and randomly murders six people and does it methodically over a period of time, even as he is Uber driving his passengers, this is just bizarre, right? Just bizarre. And even if we discover something, there's no explanation for something of this nature. And undoubtedly, it gives us all the cause of, or the opportunity, perhaps, the reason to stop and certainly pray for him and the victims and everything that happened, but the realization that, you know what, we've got to be able to embrace the moment, embrace the gift that is the present, and praise God for that. So surely we'll learn more. We'll see where this goes, but just a tragic situation all around. That, and of course, a weekend homily from Father Paul Scalia, the son of Justice Antonin Scalia, making news. And I didn't see this, but I understand that at least a couple of the news outlets, I know C-SPAN carried this in its entirety, but I want to say that a couple of the cable news outlets did as well. The funeral mass in its entirety in many places out there, which, you know, typically it's a St. John Paul II passing that does something of this nature for the rest of us. And certainly this wasn't something that necessarily captivated the world. It was something that, at least in our country, was big news. And I think it's beautiful when we see that kind of, that expression of the Catholic faith painted in such a positive light as we saw from this funeral mass and this beautifully touching homily from Justice Antonin Scalia's son, Father Paul. When you see things like that, it really shows the beauty and the richness that is what we have as Catholics, and hopefully makes us all just that much more proud, really, of what we have and the fact that it can be on display in such a regality and such a beauty, and that there really is something that I think it's not touching just because of the circumstances. It's touching because of the pomp and circumstance that surrounds this expression. So who knows? We pray that there could be seeds that were planted there. There could be opportunities for even conversions and reversions because of what was seen. Now, all of this with the other interesting dynamic of our president deciding not to attend, which apparently is the first time this has ever happened. Maybe he could say, well, I'm not Catholic, therefore don't necessarily feel at home at the Catholic Mass. We know that our vice president, Joe Biden, was there, who is a Catholic. Maybe seeing this as the opportunity to send his delegate in his stead. Not sure, right? Don't know that we know. Don't know that we will know. But it certainly seems a little bit odd, and some are calling it an insult, and some are saying, well, it's politics at play again. We know that there's a lot of controversy surrounding what's going to happen with this appointment. Will we find the administration moving forward? If the administration moves forward, will the Senate confirm? There's just a lot of questions. And unfortunately, this is what everything gets reduced to. Even before we were paying our last respects to Justice Antonin Scalia, we were fighting this battle. And that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that's the first place we go, but that's what we're dealing with, right? And this highly sensitive election cycle doesn't really help things much at all. I'm talking earlier about the results out of South Carolina, and of course we saw the Nevada results as well with a almost even more interesting dynamic there, right? So again, Republican, Democrat, it's fascinating to look at results of these early elections to really see where the trends seem to be falling and what is developing. And there's no doubt Trump had a massive victory on the Republican side. That's obvious, no questions, and probably time for a few others in the running to begin to consider, do they have the wherewithal really to kind of push through at this point? As I see it, there's really only three on the Republican side at this point that have any viability, but I may be wrong. But then you look at the two contenders on the Democrat side, and there's no clear winner, right? We've seen ups and downs in early elections. We've seen very narrow margins, even in the Nevada primary, and this is this should be saying something, right? There's a tremendous amount of viability on both of these individuals, and what's going to happen as we move this forward. Steam is going to gain undoubtedly on one, if not both of them, and because as we get closer to a general election, we see the steam gather. But where this goes, it's really interesting. It's very interesting to see. I know that some information surfaced. I was joking earlier about the Swift boat. You know, where's that going to come? Where are we going to find that element that's going to take the legs out of someone? And we know that on the Clinton side, there's been plenty of that already. The Benghazi report, the email scandal, you name it, all of this. And it doesn't seem to be taking wind out of the sails. So the question is, where does it go? What's next, right? What happens? What can we find here? And I do know this, that there were apparently photos that were published, and I'm not sure if they were timed to try to get ahead of the Nevada election or what the case may be there. But we did see this photo, a very telling photo of Bernie Sanders being arrested because he was protesting with civil rights, protest. He was there among a predominantly African American group, and he's one of them getting the cuffs slapped on him. You're talking about something that could really gain steam. It's that kind of stuff that comes out from someone's past that maybe they haven't necessarily revealed completely, but we start discovering as we move through this. Those are the character building elements that could build into something to who knows what, right? So it's very interesting. And when we talk politics, we're not talking this is my pick or this is who I'm behind. I'm just expressing this from a standpoint of a news commentary that happens to have a Catholic perspective that says, let's look at all of this and explore it for what it is. Because right now, what it is a very interesting political campaign. And every time we see the polls resulting in very narrow margins on one side, very narrow, just a few percentage points away from one another, it makes it even more interesting because you don't know where this is going. Without some surprise, and I'm not saying a surprise cannot happen, it looks like the momentum is there for Donald Trump. Without something changing drastically, without something coming up that, again, could potentially derail, I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. I also, there was a time when I thought that, well, maybe, you know what, we might see a brokered convention because Trump isn't really a GOP fit. He doesn't fit into that construct of what looks like a GOP candidate, but I don't necessarily think that the convention's going to have the wherewithal to do something of that nature. That would be a greater division, I think, among the faithful party supporters than what they would want to withstand. Just a guess at this point, but time will tell. So could it be, I've said, could we see an independent candidate come out of this, and could that independent candidate actually have enough steam to do something? It would be interesting, right? And does it guarantee a victory for the other side? It typically has, right? It typically has. I think we look back historically and you see a third party step in. It's the opposition that gets the bump because of the detraction from the base. But this political cycle has been different, right? I think we could all attest to that. So it's going to be very interesting to see where it all ends up. Another interesting piece of news in this fight on Apple when it comes to the FBI looking at trying to get this phone unlocked, it appears as though Apple is still holding firm in their position of saying, hey, we want a precedent set that doesn't say we're willing to respond to any government investigation. And I think we got to realize this is a global company we're dealing with here, right? So Apple may say, well, we could cooperate here, but we can't cooperate there. So now they're asking for more from the government for them to examine, I think, to ensure that if there was some degree of cooperation, it wouldn't be a total compromise. So it's very interesting. That's all we have time for this afternoon. Thank you so much. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. God bless you.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.